Glad to see you in the church this morning as we observe the Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day was Thursday, and in many places Ascension Day was also a festive time, and including church services. Here in the United States, we follow the practical order, so on the following Sunday is the time to celebrate, to observe Ascension Sunday as we do it today. But one thing we can be sure that as we have come together, the Lord is right in our midst. And we are gathering around Him in His name. And He wants to bless us and touch our hearts and lives. But when we are talking about these festive times of the year in the life of the church, we talk about Advent and Christmas, of course, Epiphany, we talk about Lent, and we talk about Easter, and then we talk about Ascension, and then we talk about Pentecost. Sometimes you may wonder, what is that to me? I can place it in the context of church history and the history of the church, history of Christianity, but what is it to me today? What's the purpose of all this? And many times when I'm sitting with the confirmation class, time after time, that's the question they brought to me, that, Timo, what's the purpose of it? What is it to us? And it's a good question. So actually, this is so good question, I wrote it down to make a sermon out of it. So you can ask question, what's the purpose of Jesus' ascension, or the purpose of ascension of Jesus? Either way, what is it to us? What does it mean that Jesus ascended? In the Apostles' Creed, we profess together, along with millions of other Christians from all over the world, across the denominational lines, that He was ascended into heaven. So we can say Jesus went back into heaven. Now we celebrate a lot when He came down to earth at Christmas. And then we celebrate where we recognize Jesus is dead on the cross and sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection. What about ascension, and what about Pentecost? What does it all mean to us? Now the Bible says that the 40 days after His resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. 40 days after His resurrection. Next Sunday we observe Pentecost, so 10 more days, and then again something remarkably important is going to happen or took place when Holy Spirit came. By His own words, it is good for us, Jesus says, that He ascended into heaven. Otherwise, He couldn't send His Holy Spirit down here to help us, to teach us, to inspire us, to heal us, to glorify Christ to us, to open the Word of God to us, if Jesus didn't go back into heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. Means being given the authority, as He said in Great Commission. I being given all authority in heaven and on earth, and now I am transferring this authority by asking you to go and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. On the third day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down and being sent by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in His ascension message, Jesus gave us a clear purpose. There's purpose for your life, as there's purpose for my life, and there's purpose, but not just the purpose, but assignment, something to do. And this purpose, this assignment, will just get more clear on the day of Pentecost. So we come together next Sunday. But already today, as we remember His ascension, we will be reminded what the message is we need to remember this day. Jesus says, in the Gospel of Luke 24, 48, you are the witnesses of all these things. Not just to barely remember it, but we've been called to be witnesses to all that we have seen, all that we have experienced with Jesus Christ. Church, we have been called to be witnesses to Jesus' ascension and all that he did and all that he's doing among us. Now, several years ago, Rick Warren, you have heard his name. He's a pastor and founder of Saddleback Church. Pretty good size of church. But Rick Warren has written many, many books. I don't know how many books he has written. The book I'm referring to is The Purpose-Driven Life. And he has become one of the best-selling nonfiction books of all times in the United States and being translated, I don't know into how many languages. It seems that this book touched the ultimate nerve of every Christian believer, because everyone longed to know his or her purpose in this life. You may have asked it many times. You may ask it today. And the question most people ask more and more is, what is God's will for my life? What's the purpose of my life? What am I supposed to be doing here on the earth while I'm here? And let me say you this. Thing that very saddens me every time when I hear a Christian believer like me and you, you and me, like us, wondering what might be my purpose. And they are all the time in the same situation. What might be my purpose in this world, on the earth? I can't figure it out. Then I'm almost getting close to kind of yell and say, well, how about this? Christ came down to save you. He died for you on the cross. He forgave all your sins. He gave his Holy Spirit in you. He loves you. Can you see the mission? Can you see the calling before you? Start from here and see where it takes you. Just don't keep on wondering, because there's purpose for your Christian life. Now, Jesus knew the answer to that question and wondering for his life and for ours as well. And he demonstrated very clearly. If we listen to him this morning, we will discover it out. We will discover it out. So I'm taking a practical approach. What was the purpose of Jesus' ascension to us? According to the gospel reading in Luke 24, 44 through 53, we have one job, actually, to relentlessly proclaim and demonstrate the immediacy of the Christ resurrection and the presence of God and the kingdom of God among us. So purpose number one, we are to proclaim the immediacy of the kingdom. The immediacy, it's relevant, it's something that's happening right now. Before our eyes, among us, in me and in you, around us, to proclaim, to announce in an official capacity, or the heralding the good news. Christ came, he ministered, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again, he's been seated on the right hand of the God, the Father, and he sent his Holy Spirit to empower his church and to found his church. It was a word used when a new king had begun his rule, and thus a new kingdom had begun through Jesus Christ. When we profess our faith through Apostles' Creed, we say he ascended into heaven. And hopefully we believe what we say. Jesus ascended into heaven. He went back to heaven in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit, the Counselor and the Redeemer, to stay with us. It was not the proclamation of something that might happen in the future, but of what has happened already and what is true and real. Now, Jesus came proclaiming that the kingdom of God had come and that it was available for all people, to all people. To all people, come on. To all people, to all kinds of people, to all sorts of people, to all colors of people. Yes, to all people. Although he knew some would not believe it. I know it's disappointing to us who are serving in the church and worshiping and ministering our community at least, trying very hard to see that, but not all people are interested in what we are doing or what we are saying whatsoever. And it seems like the response is sometimes so very slow. Actually, I don't get no response whatsoever. And we get very disappointed and sometimes tired. And then we start looking at each other, it's because of you. You don't do enough, or you don't do enough, or if he was different or she was different, we would be so much better. And that's where we go 100 miles per hour wrong direction. People don't always respond right then when we minister. They may respond to somebody else 10 years afterwards or 50 years afterwards or next year or next day. But we've been called to proclaim. Listen to what Jesus says. Repentance and remission of sins needs to be preached in his name. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. So friends, the church, Berea UMC, do we realize that we are having a singular job? Very, very much just a one job. To proclaim, to announce with authority that the kingdom of God is right here among us. Right here. It's right here. The second purpose, we are to demonstrate the immediacy of the kingdom. To demonstrate. Okay, Jesus not only proclaimed the kingdom, but also demonstrated it. Everywhere Jesus goes, kingdom activity will be accomplished and was accomplished. And lives were changed. One day he came to your life. He came to my life. And he changed it. Maybe you need him to visit you this morning. Maybe you need Jesus into your heart. Maybe that is why you came to church this morning. You say, Timo, I've been attending church for quite some time. Yes, you have. But you need Christ into your heart. You need to refresh your covenant with him. You need to put right things in right order. He was saying, the kingdom is here, and this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Church, let me challenge us this morning. Can we say today, as Christ Church, that the kingdom of God looks like us? Come and check it out. I hope that would be true with us this morning. This is why our good deeds are so very important. I know we don't talk too much about good deeds. We try to put the grace strongly first, and then we forget that we should do something about our faith. We go home and we eat good lunch and we take nap and we're done for a week and we don't have to do nothing else. Was this a prophecy to us all this morning? God wants our spiritual efforts to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth so people can see it and feel the value of it. When they look at us and then we see the church in the mission and ministry. Do we, friends, realize that we have been given a big assignment? One purpose, to proclaim and to demonstrate the immediacy of the kingdom of God. Both of these are very important, to proclaim and to demonstrate, because proclamation without demonstration is unbelievable. And demonstration validates what we have proclaimed. Demonstration without proclamation is misleading people. If we don't tell others why this is happening, they will think it is our work only, and we are just trying to accomplish something. We are trying to bring our name up front somewhere and do for some special reasons. Now, this past Memorial Day, was last Monday, I get a phone call from a person who needed help. So I made an appointment with that person here at the church in front of the parish house. So I learned that a little bit gas money and food was needed. And when I looked a little bit and listened to the situation, I know there was a desperate need. Now, to us here, gas money may not be anything you need. And you have more than enough food for you and your family. But somebody who is in a little bit different place in their life than you and I, little bit gas money to get to work, to go somewhere is a big thing, friends. And a bag of food is very important. So we met, and I tried to serve by the resources you have given to your pastor. Do you call it discretionary fund or pastor's fund or emergency fund? You have given this tool to your pastor to help people in this situation. So I served this person, and while this person was leaving, going back to the car, that person turned around and said to me that, "Pastor, I'm so thankful that you are a church that is not just all talk, but you all also try to do something. Thank you for that." And I said, "Well, thank you so much, and I wish that to be true. I wish that to be true with all the churches, that it wasn't all talk all the time, but we would also demonstrate the good deeds of the gospel." And the last thing, a third, we are to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of relentlessly. You know the word relentlessly? It means doing something important in an extreme way that continues strongly without stopping. We don't stop doing good, friends. We don't stop proclaiming. We don't stop loving people by the love of Christ. We are to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom everywhere we go, all the time as we go, as long we live. At his Ascension Day message, Jesus wants to make sure we have grasped the main meaning of his ascension. He ascended into heaven to leave us a testament, a will, good will. Kingdom of God is close to us. Like to challenge us, can you feel it? Can you see it? Do you understand what it means? It is close to us. It's right here, in your heart, all around you. It is in his power, not in my power, in your power. But it also comes to us, amazingly, sometimes surprising us, that it comes even through me and through you to some of folks here in the community. Our church father, John Wesley, says about the three main principles of our Christian faith. He said, first thing, do no harm. If you claim to be Christian, do no harm. Do good. And stay in love with God. I'd say we need to start with staying in love with God. Then remembering, if you don't know what to do, don't do harm. But do good constantly. Do good to anybody. Three main principles, he says, for good Methodists. And then he said, well, it's for all Christians. Somebody take home today before we receive the sacrament. My question to us all, as we are witnessing the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are we following his will today to be proclaimers of the good news constantly without getting tired? No reason to get tired. Are you demonstrating the immediacy of the kingdom of God? It's right here among us, even in your heart and mine, by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.